Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. Very pleased to be with you as we are in spring, which is my third favorite season of the year.
Third favorite?
It's my third favorite. Oh, I just thought I had to announce that. I'm not even going to tell you what my first and second are. You have to listen to future shows to find out. But we have a great show for you this week. Later on in the show, the inbox question will be answered by Chris Vaya of the Focus Leadership Institute, a great guy who has lots of great insight. And he's going to be talking about pledging Greek. So if you don't even know what that means, maybe... Martha and I were like, what was that? What's
Does that mean that? Like making a reservation at a Greek restaurant?
It could be. It's all Greek to
it's
me.
About putting together a gyro and just gobbling it down.
No,
we will find out what that means, basically, in the inbox section. And then in our culture segment, I will be talking to Zorro, who is the drummer for Lenny Kravitz, in addition to other major artists, a fun guy who basically drums, and he, I'm not going to lie, he gave Martha and I drumsticks and signed them. So this is the kind of thing that you discover and that you benefit from when you are part of Boundless.
Where
and
I'm just was I saying, for that interview?
I am going to be telling my children for the rest of my life that I opened up for Lenny Kravitz.
There you go.
It's true.
And he had an awesome fedora on, and you will see his photo there on the blog because he's fantastic. He and I just chilling there together, Zorro. So anyway, love him. But here we are, speaking of a guy who has an awesome job. We're going to talk about our quote-unquote jobs, but kind of a bigger picture element of that. And that's kind of like the discussion of calling and where God has us and where he's taking us and how we can reconcile ourselves to enjoying the journey in that process. So with me today, I have Martha Kranke. Not sure if you know her. Hey, Martha.
Hello, Lisa. It's been a while, so.
I know. You decided to come behind the mic today.
Yes. We'll give it a shot.
It's very good. She's going to say awesome things about her current job. I can tell you that. So
totally we also calling.
Exactly. We also have the wonderful and very colorful today, Carrie Kintz.
Oh, thank you. Great yeah, I kind of look like an Easter egg.
You do. That's so
I'm very
exciting.
Pink today.
Actually, between the three of us, we're doing well.
We are.
Sam Hoover, not so much.
No.
Working the neutrals over there.
Yes.
Rocking
you're
the
main plaid. You're the inside like of the egg.
Like a madman. Madman.
Yeah.
No.
Don Draper.
No.
Sam Draper.
Stop.
Well, we appreciate you guys for being here and being part of this conversation this week. So this topic was actually birthed by Carrie and Sam. So I can say birthed if I want.
Out of 9 months of agonizing.
Exactly. And they were very passionate about talking about this. So obviously something is going on in their own heads and hearts as they work their jobs. You know, Sam was here for our show where we talked about social media because he is a social media guru and that is his day job, which, let's be honest, 10 years ago would not have existed.
So yeah.
You're just lucky you're even here.
Well, I am very lucky to be not only at Focus, but here in the studio with you three lovely ladies. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
We acknowledge that. That's
Thank
good.
You very much.
That's good. Well, we want to talk about, okay, here's my thing, and I'm just, you know, so I'm old, I'm aging, and so I have talked before on the show about these crazy young kids and how they get out of college and they immediately think they're going to be consultants because they just want to be awesome and they want to make a lot of money and they don't want to sit at a desk from 8 to 5. So that is some people's dream, and that just is what they work towards. Mm-hmm. But we want to talk about something bigger, and we want to talk about how God can use your gifts and your strengths right where you are and how you may have opportunities before you that you may not even yet know of in light of what your current job situation is. And quite frankly, how you may take a job that you think is a dog and it may ultimately be a very growing experience for you and lead to something else. Mm-hmm. That is not what Martha's going to talk about. So I'm just feeding Martha all her potential
lives. I don't need to say anything.
Glad you're here, Martha.
I'll be filling in for both myself and Martha in this portion of the podcast. But you guys talk a little bit about this. Why don't you share the vision for really what this means and why it's something that you are now grappling with. It's part of your story.
Yeah, I think the whole reaching your calling, fulfilling your calling, mm-hmm. idea. It's kind of a misnomer. You mentioned about college graduates and coming right out of college and just jumping headfirst into what the Lord has for you. And my first job out of college, I worked at a wildlife museum taking tickets.
Oh.
And yeah, right? Not really making the big bucks, not even really putting my degree to any use whatsoever. But I learned in that job, I learned what it's like to wake up at 6:30 every single morning, because I didn't do that in college. Imagine that. I learned those responsibilities of
being, timeliness.
Yeah, timeliness, yeah. Being faithful to your job and being faithful to your employer and being trustworthy. And those were attributes that I took from that job, that I learned from that job, that I've been able to apply to every other job since then.
Yeah, I think to kind of piggyback on what Sam was saying, I didn't actually go to college. And so I entered the workforce almost straight after graduating from high school. And my first real job was actually here at Focus. I started at Focus 11 and a half years ago. So I'll let you do the math on how old I am. But I started out as a barista and didn't really think, oh, yeah, I'm going to be working at Focus all of this time and I'm going to grow. But it was just a job at the time. And I didn't have any aspirations about growing within the organization. But I learned how to make a mean cup of coffee. But I mean, even more than that, I learned how to interact with people and how to serve well. And again, like Sam said, take those attributes all the way through the different jobs that I have had here at Focus. And I think that's what's so important. Like you said, Lisa, I think there are a lot of ideas out there that once I graduate college or once I hit this certain career milestone, I am going to bump into and finally fulfill God's call in my life. And we kind of perceive calling as a destination when really, if you read scripture, the life of our faith fathers and mothers and, you know, the Lord himself, it's actually a journey. And I think that's kind of missing from a lot of people in mm-hmm. our generation.
Yeah. And don't you think, too, I mean, I think there's an element of now, especially that we're in the blogosphere and everyone and their brother has a blog. You don't see people that have jobs taking tickets, writing a blog and talking about it every day. Mm-hmm. You see the people that have ended up down in Uganda doing something, building wells or something. So I think people have this impression that unless I'm doing something that's either a rockin' ministry or is pulling in some cash or is leadership in something, then I'm not doing something valuable and I'm not, you know, at pace with where I should be, mm-hmm. you know, for my generation or something. And I think that's so untrue.
Yeah.
Because I mean, straight out of college, I temped. I was the classic liberal arts degree, and I was just like, do you want fries with that? I did not know what I was going to do. I didn't even know who would hire me. I didn't even know what I could do with my degree. I was just like, well, I wrote essays in college, you know, and did that, you know. So I was just all over the map as figuring out, you know, what in the world I could even do. I know, Martha, you were a little more directional than I was.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a different experience of shortly, maybe about a year's time after graduation, I actually got my dream job, the thing that mm-hmm. I went to college for and was hoping to get. But then 4 years later, it was cut. The whole staff was let go and went through a layoff. So it was back to kind of ground zero of what am I going to do with my life? What are my goals and hopes and dreams? And so it's been a discovery process, you know, starting over too.
Which is a good thing to mention, that it's not always going to be this just a systematic ladder of growth and experience. There's going to be stops and starts, and mm-hmm. you're going to have times where the bottom falls out from under you and you're going to have to start over and you have to reassess, where am I now? You know, I did that after really 12 years in the world of PR and then decided to move over here in the world of young adults and running a website, which I didn't know diddly squat about, and still, you know, I'm at about 50% sometimes. So I think that's so true. But what would you say then are, you know, as you think about this topic, what are some of the things that are opportunities that people may miss? Like if someone goes in and they think that they're paid to do a certain job and that's all they're going to do. And, you know, we talk about clock watchers and all these types of people. But what are some great opportunities that people can take in the jobs that they have that can allow them to grow and maybe gain some new skills that aren't being delivered to them on a silver mm-hmm. platter, but are things that they could maybe reach out and grab?
You know, I think people really miss the value of not taking the spotlight, but just doing what's extra, taking the extra mile in your job. I think we have a mentality, I've seen it a lot in our generation and other generations, of I want to be a star and I'm meant to be somebody and I'm called to be somebody. Well, that's all well and good. And yes, God has made you uniquely and wonderfully and he's given you special gifts and talents. But I think we really bank on those things taking us somewhere rather than the blood, sweat, and tears that is really required in a job to be noticed. And I think it's the little things like not trying to be the star, but just doing your best every single day, coming in committed to your job, and then being willing to take that extra step and not to be noticed, but just to say, you know what, I can do this. There's not that much on my plate right now. I'm happy to help out. And being willing to take on that servant attitude, I think, is something that that you can really miss because we're too busy trying to build up a resume or, like I said, be somebody. And scripture, again, is anti to that. It's serve those around you and look for those opportunities, even if it's not glamorous, you know, even if it is answering the phones for somebody at lunch or, you know, being the contact person on an out-of-office email or whatever it is, something that's not glamorous. I think we want the glamour and the glitz, but we don't want to do the hard work that it takes to sometimes get to a place where you're noticed. And I think that's unfortunate. And I had to go through that, mm-hmm. you know, starting as a barista, you know, and climbing up through Focus, you know, you struggle with that. It's like, I want people to see that I do hard work and I want them to notice me. But at the same time, it's, am I going to be satisfied knowing that I'm doing what God's called me to do and that He notices? And then is that going to be enough for me? And sometimes I was like, no. It's not.
Yeah, well, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. And to add to that point, we've redefined success, that success has to be getting a lot of attention and getting a lot of notoriety, when really success is doing what you're called to do right now.
Mm-hmm. Embracing the gifts that you have been given. Of not everybody is going to be a great blogger. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is going to be a Lisa Anderson hosting the podcast. I mean, I am very good at scheduling and keeping things in line, and that is probably not going to get me the front page story, you know, but embracing those things mm-hmm. is what you'll actually enjoy and be able to succeed in. So mm-hmm. I think identifying those is a good place to start.
Yeah, now. It's the whole body has many parts, and we mm-hmm. all can't be a celebrity blogger with millions of Twitter followers. You know, there's a few select people that can do that, and then there has to be everybody else to fill in the what looks like, what may look like the void, but is actually what you're supposed to be doing. That's your calling, is what you're supposed to be doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of people, though, that are fearful coming out of college because, say, for example, they show up out of college with an accounting degree and they're like, here goes the rest of my life sitting in a cubicle with a 10 key and just working with spreadsheets and doing that. You know, and it can be, even though it's something they're good at, maybe it's something they fell into and maybe now they're just like, this is my life and this is going to define me. I want to know what you guys have done in past jobs or current jobs, things that you now know, new skills or new talents that you have because of something crazy that got thrown in your lap and you had to pick it up and you had to realize, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I actually was able to master that, or maybe not master it, but I can do it now. And it's part of my repertoire and it's now an additional caveat to who I am and what I have to offer.
I chose a degree in journalism to do magazines, but bad news, magazines are kind of going down the pits. So I mean, just getting used to the digital world.
Except for Real Simple. I still get that.
Oh,
love
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Some are still living. Yeah. But even to learn HTML, I mean, that's so geeky and nothing I never planned on learning or had any desire to, but I got it and it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. I am very much a big picture person and I love connecting those dots. And when I was working in the bookstore for Focus, the entire events off sales bookstore got thrown in my lap, which required a lot of attention to detail, which I am horrible at. And just learning how to order and shipping and training volunteers. And it was just definitely not in my skill set. But my boss said, I believe that you can do it. And having that empowerment behind me saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this challenge and I'm going to try. This is a definite weakness of mine, but I'm going to do it. And I found that once I really applied myself to it, which I used to hate hearing in school, if you would just apply yourself, it would work. It's true. I actually found that I really enjoyed it. It was essentially like running a small business, which is something I never thought I would be good at. But once I really had the drive and had somebody supporting me, I said, okay, I'm gonna try. And even if I fail, at least I'm going to know that I tried. So, I really enjoyed it. And I did it for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I had a marketing job where I too had a degree in communications, more on the writing side. But so I had a marketing job that required some video work, and I didn't know anything about video. I didn't know anything about editing. That whole process intimidated me because there were a lot of fancy programs that I had to use, and then B, that's what really, really, really cool and good looking people do, like producers that wear good clothes and has cool hats and. I don't. So I got thrown into this position of having to create these real quick, simple videos for the company I worked for that showed off kind of the behind the scenes areas of it. And I just kind of jumped in and learned, all right, here's here's the process of pre-production and filming and scripting. And I didn't become good at it. I didn't become great at it, but I knew just enough, I guess, just enough to make myself dangerous. And that's something that, that I've been able to do here at Focus, and something that Carrie and I do. We do a not a behind the scenes, but an internal video for all the employees that, I mean, it's just so much fun. And I would have never, ever been able to do that had I not taken the time years and years ago to learn and really study film making, video making.
I don't know how I ended up on the video. Somebody came to me and said, "You look creative. Mm-hmm. We need to fill this space on our internal website." And I'm like, "Okay, Sam, I need you to help me."
That's great. Yeah, I had never hosted a show prior to the Boundless show. I was told one day by the former team, "Hey, we want to do this podcast. You like to talk and you get up in people's business. Do you want to come down and give it a shot?" And so I did. And so never thought it was something. I mean, certainly plugging away at my liberal arts degree, never thought this was something that I would do. Of course, podcasting wasn't even around at that time. So I think it is interesting how we see just different little things that are made opportunities for us. So that's a great way to maximize things that we have before us. But what about, I know we were talking about this before, just the calling of obedience in what you've been given and what you've been called to do, and what it means to not always be, not always expect that what you do is going to make you happy. How do you reconcile that with someone who's looking at a stretch of a job ahead of them and just saying, "Oof, I don't know if I can hack this"?
Yeah, I wonder if working in your strengths and doing the Lord's calling is, sometimes it's not fun. Just look at Jesus' life. I mean, he was called to the cross, called to make this huge sacrifice, and what he was doing for the Lord and in love ended up in this great sacrifice and a lot of physical pain. And I think we often think that working in our strengths is going to make everything very happy and very joyful, and that's not necessarily always the case.
Yeah, I think, too, what I love about what Scripture says about Jesus is that the joy that was set before him was, you know, knowing that he was called to the Lord. Like, this was the purpose of his life. And so I think a lot of times we look to our external circumstances to make us happy. And that's not accurate. That's, you know, and it's... We all do it. It's not like, you know, I've mastered, well, nothing outside of me makes me happy, you know. No. But I think it's that focus on the Lord. And in times when I've really struggled with where God's called me and struggled with my job and, you know, been in tears because I'm so frustrated, it's that encouragement to endure, I mean, and to persevere. And I think that those are two words that we kind of look at as curse words, because they do indicate that you're going through something and it's difficult and it's hard. But there is reward in knowing that you are being obedient, and the Lord will bring times of refreshing in the midst of that struggle. And so I would just say to anybody who's in that place of, I'm in a job that I don't like and I don't know what to do, is to seek the Lord and to not look at your external circumstances and allow that to dictate whether or not you're going to be obedient to the Lord or not. Because I think a lot of times we do that, and it's hard not to, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he does give us joy, and there is contentment to be found in pursuing him in the midst of the struggle. And I think that that's something, again, that we move away from because we think calling is glamorous and it's glitzy, it's all these things. But no, I mean, Scripture is full of examples of people who were absolutely called by God and yet went through very difficult things. But then you read some of the things that they wrote, and they are amazing, and they're beautiful, and they're worshipful. And so I think there's something very precious that comes out of the struggle that we miss when we want to evade it instead of go through it.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to remember, too, that, you know, when we look at people who are quote unquote successful, many of them, I mean, eventually your goal is to hopefully trend in jobs that utilize more of your strengths, that are a better fit, that are mm-hmm. allowing you to stretch yourself and all that. But we had our department not too long ago had an offsite where we had a consultant come in, and he talked about, you know, he's just a big time whatever guy. I don't even know what all he consults in. It's a lot of different things, a lot of management and marketing stuff. And he said the one thing that he hates is going through his numbers and the quotas and the sales that they're responsible for. But he says he has to do it on Monday. And then every Friday he has to do it again. And those are the two bookends of a week that he does not look forward to. He despises that part of his job, but he has managed every other aspect of his job to trend towards things that are his strengths and that mm-hmm. he likes doing. And so no matter how far you climb up the ladder, you're still going to have stuff within your job that you're like, this is not my favorite thing to do. This is not, you know, even rock stars have stinky aspects of their job, I'm mm-hmm. sure. You know, they have to talk to people they don't care about.
Think
they
about
have to
any right now, but
ride on
know,
a bus with 13 other people.
Exactly. I don't even know if I would do that on a good day. I don't even know, you know, if I'd be up for that in any stretch. But I do think that is so true. So so as you guys like look ahead, you know, when you're looking, because you guys are all, you know. Okay, I'm going to throw myself into, you know, we're kind of like younger in our careers. I'm just throwing myself in. You know, we have longer careers ahead of us. We still have many years of working ahead of us. What do you see when you like map that out and see kind of where you may go? Do you have certain hopes or certain fears that you're kind of wrestling with? Or are you going to kind of more take it as it is?
I learned a long time ago not to really look too far into the future mm-hmm. because you just never know what's going to happen. My pastor has a saying that whenever people come to him and asking the question of, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I don't know what God's calling me to do in this situation. And he says, go back to the last thing that God called you to do and do that. And I feel like that's the part of my life that I'm in right now is I feel like, okay, I don't know what my future has for me, whether it's at here or whether it's anywhere else. But I know that God's called me to here right now. This is the last thing that he's called me to do. And I know I'm supposed to be doing it and do it well. Everything else is going to get taken care of on its own, in its own time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good motivator too, Sam. You know, your example is someone who's also a husband and a father. And I think that's a great motivator for men to recognize that you're a provider, you know, so you don't have, I mean, not that you can't dream and not that you can't grow in your career or not that you can't, but you know, it helps you to kind of just take your eyes out of the stars and have these totally unrealistic expectations and ridiculousness of like, well, you know, I'm not going to actually work. I'm just going to write a screenplay and hopefully sell it, you know, somewhere within the next 20 years. Well, that's, you know, something you can do on the side, but it's a little ridiculous for this time and space. So I think it's good to have, you know, your feet, you know, planted, but also to recognize that God is creative and he wants us to grow too. That's good. Mm-hmm.
My dad told me recently that God does not put us on rabbit trails, that everything really does have a purpose. And we might not see in this lifetime why we had this job picking up trash or whatever that seems so minor to us. But
counting lasagna noodles. That was one of my temp jobs.
Oh, gosh. You know,
I've done it.
Maybe God wants you to make me some lasagna.
That's very possible.
Being such a great employee.
I need to get a better recipe than the one I have.
But okay. He's got a purpose and direction, and we can put our trust in that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I know for myself, I'm interested in so many things, and I'm passionate about a lot of issues, and I know that the Lord's given me just, you know, a lot of ideas, but at the same time, kind of going back to what Sam was saying and what Martha was saying is, you know, the Lord also said, I've only given you today. And so I need to remind myself to not have both eyes on the future, but to work on what has he called me to today? And am I being faithful in that? And am I loving him well in that? And to, you know, not be looking for opportunities around, you know, every corner, but just being open and just reminding myself that my life is not my own. It really isn't. If I'm fully committed to Jesus and loving him, then my life is not my own. And I'll be a woman under his authority. And so to just hold my life very loosely. And I think a lot of times we get very afraid. And I know that I've done it of, you know, my life isn't going to turn out the way that I want it to, or am I wasting away at a certain job, or, you know, am I not being utilized right in my church? And when I get that way, I have a tendency to really react in control and say, no, I need to hold on to this and I need to figure out what this looks like. And the Lord says, no, you need to hold your life loosely. It needs to be mine and I need to be able to do with it what I want to do. And that's why it's called faith, you know, and that's why without it, it is impossible to please him. And it's just been a journey because I have definitely had those times where I've just really struggled with where the Lord's placed me, but I've tried my best and, you know, fallen and gotten back up and there's had to be repentance, but I've watched the Lord honor that in my life and in the lives of others. And so I know that it's true. He's proven himself faithful. And so it's just making sure that I take each step and acknowledge him in that, knowing that, like Sam said, you know, he has my future and he has my present. And so I need to be able to rest in that and be faithful.
All right. Well, these are great thoughts, everyone, and hopefully encouraging to those of you out there, whether you are just starting out in your career, or whether you feel like you're kind of stuck in something dead end, or whether you're just humming along, because we all have, as we described, our bumps and bruises that we're going to have to go through. But looking ahead is a great thing. Also, the emphasis on relationship. I just want to mention mm-hmm. that. Determine to like the people that you work with, because you are spending a lot of time with them, and it's really ridiculous to just concentrate on a task and not care about the people around you. It is not helpful, it's not fun, and it's not even godly. So
Amen.
That's my little rebuke there for some people that knew me need to hear that. So anyway, thank you all so much for being part of the conversation.
Thanks for having us, Lisa.
Thank you for letting me open for Zorro. Stay tuned.